Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. This is class number 715 of this Bible School. And today we're going to have our special feature in which I read from the Rockcliffe Review. And as I always explain, that is the bulletin that is passed out on Sunday mornings to those who come to worship with us at the meeting house at Rockcliffe. And so the article in the bulletin at this time is Jesus is the Christ, a biblical apologetic. Now, as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking I may have read this to you earlier, but it will not matter because it is something that will be profitable for you to hear again if you have not heard it before. Here is how the article goes. In 1828, Robert Owen came from England to America and proposed a new social order void of religion. He challenged America's religious leaders to debate on the value of religion. Alexander Campbell accepted his offer. Owen based his new social order and his opposition to religion on what he called 12 fundamental laws of human nature. Campbell pressed Owen to show how his 12 laws addressed the propositions for the debate, and Owen was unable to do so. So the debate began to be bogged down. Owen offered Alexander Campbell all the time he wanted to defend the Christian religion and said he would follow with a reply. Alexander Campbell rose from his chair and spoke in defense of Christianity for 12 hours. It was not all at one sitting. He spoke for 2 hours, twice a day, for 3 days. Campbell's speech remains one of the great defenses of Christianity in history. It was in England in the early 1800s, as it was in England in the early 1800s, so even more so in America today, we're living in a culture of skepticism. The number of those who claim to have no religion is at a historic high, and Christianity is either dismissed, ignored, or attacked as abetting the causes of our social woes. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Many, both before and after Alexander Campbell, has demonstrated that the evidence for the surety of the foundation of Christianity is reasonable and rational. Knowing how to defend the faith can both strengthen our faith and enable us to answer and persuade skeptics. There are a number of ways this defense can be approached, but I'm convinced that the best way is the old Bible way. I've heard it said that you cannot convince an unbeliever with the Bible. I suggest that those who say such things have forgotten that 4 books of the Bible are written to unbelievers, and that they are written to give unbelievers reasons to believe. I refer to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are 4 men who have seen and investigated the evidence and came away believers. They are telling us why they believe, and they are doing so that we may believe also. Here in John, in John 20 and verse 31, "These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Here Luke, in Luke chapter 1 verses 3 through 4, "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Notice what Luke said. Not just that Theophilus may know, but know the certainty. Here Luke again in Acts chapter 1 in verse 3. Where writing of Jesus, Luke said, He showeth himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them. Note how he said, infallible proofs. We might say, irrefutable evidence. Note also the nature of that evidence. These proofs were seen of many witnesses who testified of the things which they had seen and heard. Hear John. In John chapter 1, verses 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. These men were credible witnesses. Matthew was one of his disciples. He had left his work as a tax collector to follow Jesus. He himself was a witness of many of the things which he wrote. Mark was a young man at the time of Jesus. He too may have witnessed some of the things of which he wrote, and he knew those who had witnessed them. Dr. Luke was the outsider. He came later and made his own investigation, and he was convinced of the certainty of what he heard. John was the old apostle. He too had been with Jesus. He wrote to a generation that had already heard the things recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He is writing to assure and reassure them of the truth of what they had heard. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John should be read as books of evidence for the faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Walter Scott was a preacher contemporary with Alexander Campbell. In 1833, Scott wrote of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, "These form the groundwork of our faith in Christianity. It is by these divine narratives that the Christian religion is to spread, because by them alone the world can be assured that Jesus is the Messiah. If any man would work faith in his audience, let him give his days and nights and weeks and years to the study of the evangelist." Well, that was the reading from the Rockcliffe Review that we had for that Sunday. And we read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And what we're doing in our regular studies is studying about the life of Christ. And we have come to his teachings on the Last Judgment, as they are found in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40 we read, "The king shall answer and say unto them," now these are to the sheep on his right hand, the ones that had fed him when he was hungry, and gave him drink when he was thirsty, and took him in when he was a stranger, and clothed him when he was naked, attended to him when he was sick, and visited him when he was in prison. "The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." It's not difficult to help those who in turn help us, but it is the Spirit of Christ to help those who cannot help us to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and lodge the strangers and minister the sick. We read in another place, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest haply they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, bid the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, because they have not wherewith to recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. Luke 14:12-14. Our treatment of Christ poor is our treatment of Him. We can tell by our treatment of the poor, the blind, the lame, the sick, just how we would treat Jesus were He on earth now. We also read in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 41, about the destiny of the wicked. Matthew 25:41 says, Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Having blessed the righteous, the king will say that to those on the left hand. The kingdom mentioned above was prepared for the righteous themselves, but the eternal fire into which the unrighteous must go was prepared for the devil and his angels. Fearful is this punishment, and fearful is sin, since it fits people for the place prepared for the devil and his angels. In Matthew 25:42-43, we read, For I was hungry, and ye did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? And did not minister unto thee. The reason for this punishment is just the reverse of the one given for the blessing of the righteous. The unrighteous had not fed, clothed, and visited Jesus when sick and in prison, and given him water to drink when thirsty, or lodged him when a stranger. And they asked when they had seen Jesus in such sad condition, and had not ministered unto him. His reply in Matthew 25:45 was, Inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of these least, ye did it not unto me. Note that Jesus says one of these least, just one. To refuse or to neglect to care for even one of the least of Christ's disciples, one of the lowliest, humblest, weakest, and most neglected and despised by the world and its great ones, is to be lost. Jesus says, have the poor with you always, and whosoever ye will, ye can do good unto them. Mark 14:7. This makes it a matter of one's own choice, or his own will, whether or not he will help the poor and treat the afflicted as God directs. In all ages, God has made provisions for the poor and variously afflicted. Much is said in the New Testament explaining and enjoining this duty. To neglect it is to disobey God, and this disobedience leads to eternal punishment. Again, we're impressed with the truth that many will be lost for what they do not do. To be blessed in this life and to be saved in heaven, we must be faithful and active in the service of God. Failure to do our duty or sins of omission are fatal. Verse 46 says, These shall go into everlasting or into eternal punishment. This is the punishment described in verse 30-41 in Matthew 8:12 and 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse 9. and given by Jesus and the apostles, these warnings should be heeded now.